Blog Talk Radio.
Today I'm again honored to bring you the word of Yah. Who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the king, the judge, the lawgiver, and the only savior of Israel and the world. Today the creator has blessed me again to be here to share his word on truth or tradition. Today we're going to talk about a very serious subject. We're talking about something that most people don't know anything about, and that is the correct time to keep New Year's and who are Yah's witnesses. Are they the Jehovah Witnesses? They go around knocking on people's door. Are these his witnesses? Or are these people imposters? Just like the Jewish people that say they're Israelites are imposters. We're going to deal with these very serious and critical issues today in our discussion. But before we get into the lesson, we will bring you another beautiful song from the 12 Tribes CD entitled Call Upon Yah. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moray Elisha Israel of the House of Israel, bringing the truth or tradition. Did you know that yesterday, the day you have on your calendar is as the sixth day of the week? The day that you have on your calendars that represent the day that you call Friday. Did you know that that was New Year's Day? And we of the House of Israel celebrated the Most High's holy day and honored him alone, because we are his peculiar treasure that he rose up to be a nation that would glorify him and him only. And he told this particular nation that you don't have to be like the other people. You don't have to do what the other people do. You're just not to be a clone and follow everybody else, but I have made you a peculiar people unto myself above all the nations that are upon the face of this earth. And then the Creator tells us in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. Let's go there in your book. And you remember the Christians love the verse in the book of Proverbs where it says, trust in Yahweh with all your heart and lean not into thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thy own eyes, but fear Yah and depart from evil. So we want you to put your trust in Yah, like you say. We want you to serve him not with lip service, but with sincerity. And let's see what thus said Yahweh in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. We're going to read the first two verses.
And Yah spake unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you.
Here the Creator says, this month shall be unto you the beginning of your months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. And what month was he speaking of? The Creator was speaking of the month of Abib, the month of the tender herbs, the month that would signify that this is truly the New Year's. Remember, I've always taught that the Almighty's laws are totally consistent with all universal laws. And a universal law of nature will let you know that New Year's start in the springtime, when the flowers and plants and everything is blossoming and blooming and coming up. This is New Year's. And this is the day that the Most High wanted us to set aside. If you read the book of Exodus, or we'll go right to the book of Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy so we can see what month he was talking about when he says this month is the beginning of your months. We do know, as we read the rest of that chapter, that was the first day of the month of Abib, the day we kept our Passover, the day that we celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the day we were emancipated and liberated out of the land of Egypt. This is the day the Creator says that we should celebrate as the beginning of our months. And notice what the Creator says here in the book of Deuteronomy, the 12th chapter, the 16th chapter, starting at the first verse.
Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto Yah the Elohim.
In other words, it comes right out, and it didn't say, observe the Jewish calendar. It didn't say, observe the spring equinox. It didn't say, observe a Gentile calendar. But what it did says is, watch for the moon of Abib, the moon and months are synonymous in the Hebrew language. They mean the same thing. As a matter of fact, months come from moons. There were 12 moons generally in our year, which represented the 12 months. And here the Creator says in Hebrew, watch for the month of Abib and keep the Passover unto Yahweh the Elohim. For in the month of Abib, in the month of the tender herbs, in the springtime, that Yah bring ye forth out of the land of Mizraim by night. And he wanted us to observe this throughout our generations. Today we're not doing so. Today we have a bunch of people in our midst, Israelites throughout the United States, Muslims and Christians throughout the United States, that are observing a day, a month, entirely different from that which was spoken by the Most High. Well, the Christians is, they'll say, well, we're following Christ. Well, if you're following the New Testament and you're following Christ, note where did Christ of the New Testament say celebrate New Year's in the month of January? Because he would have been a fool to do so. Everybody know that a new year cannot begin in the middle of winter, when everything is dead, when there's no life, nothing germinating, everything is dead, and they are telling you this is the new year. And our people are following this. No wonder Yahweh said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. He said, because my people have rejected knowledge, I will reject them. So you better be very careful what you're doing tonight. Don't be afraid of knowledge, but run to wisdom and investigate it. Seek it out, and she shall be a friend to you. But seek after her. Wisdom will not hurt anyone that's looking for the truth. And here the Creator tells us to seek the truth. And those that are going by the New Testament, ask your reverends, ask your bishops to show you where in the scriptures the Most High or the Christ of the New Testament said, go and buy a Jewish calendar if you want to keep the holy days correctly. Show me where any of them said, go and buy a farmer's almanac if you want to know when to keep New Year's. When did they say go by the heathen's new year? Nowhere. The Almighty said observe the month of Abib. And most Israelites around the world is going by a Jewish calendar that doesn't even recognize the new moons, that don't even recognize the agriculture, what was a signifying our new months. They don't even go by that. And what are the Christians doing? They're saying, well, we're following Christ. Well, let's see what Christ said in the New Testament about who you should follow and who you should seek after in the book of St. John as we know it. Notice what it says in St. John, the 8th chapter. When you get the 8th chapter of St. John, we would like you to turn and read the 31st and the 32nd verse. And here's what it says.
Then said J.C. to those Jews which believed on him.
In other words, he said this to the Hudean, the Israelites that believed in him. Not like the Christians of the day that serve him with mouth service and say, I believe in him, but they don't keep his father's commandments. No Christian keeps the commandments. Because if you kept the commandments, it would be impossible for you to worship Christ. If you kept the commandments, it would be impossible for you to call yourself a Christian. And if you kept the commandments, you would be keeping New Year's when Brother Elisha and the other Israelites that have identified with the laws of the Most High are keeping. And that's not in January. That's not in any other month, but the month of Abib that corresponds with the last of March or the first of April, depending when the new moon would fall. But notice what the Christ in the New Testament said to those Israelites that believed in him. He says again in verse 31,
"Then said JC to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed."
He said, only if you continue in my words. And then he said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, what is truth? How does the Bible define truth? How does the Christ of the New Testament define truth? And how does Yahweh and the holy prophets of the Old Testament define truth? Well, here's the way that the Christ defined truth when he said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. In the book of John, the 17th chapter, notice how the Christ defines the word truth. He says in the 17th chapter, the 17th verse,
sanctify them through thy truth.
He said sanctify. He's asking the Christ in the New Testament, is asking the creator of the universe, the one that he calls his father, the one that he says is greater than I, the one that he taught his disciples to pray to when he taught them to pray to our Father, which art is in heaven, the same one that he says is his God, the same one that he asked, why have you forsaken me? He taught his disciples, and he asked the Creator to sanctify them through thy truth. And then he defines truth. He tells the world, thy word is truth. And that's spelled T-R-U-T-H. Truth is defined in the New Testament by the Christ of the New Testament as being the word of Yahweh. Not his word, not Paul's word, Peter's word, but the word of Yahweh is defined as being truth. And then we look in the so-called Old Testament, the book that we know as the Book of Songs. And we go to Songs 119 in the Old Testament and see how the holy prophets that spoke to Yah, how Yahweh taught them to define truth. Because the truth is something that everyone should have. The truth is something that every church should teach. But all your pastors is teaching the gospel. They're teaching the Pauline doctrine. Or they're teaching the apostolic faith. But they're not teaching you the truth. Because the truth is only the words of Yahweh according to the Christ of the New Testament and according to his holy prophets. Incidentally, who were all black men out of Africa where Jerusalem is located. We read the book of Songs 119, and we're going to read verse 142. Look how it defines truth.
Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth.
Did you hear what that said? It says, thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and Thy law is the truth. No wonder Yahweh spoke in the book of Daniel about a nation that's going to come up and rise up and that would cast the truth to the ground. As he said, this wicked empire would cast the truth to the ground and stumble on it. And then we read the New Testament where they say, well, the Creator said his law is the truth. Then we read where Paul said you don't have to keep the law. The law is done away with. All you have to do is start believing in a man that says he's his son and believe in him. Well, what's the purpose of believing in him if he's not keeping the law and he's not directing you to keep the law? How will believing in him teach you the commandments? Believing in him will teach you the commandments if you listen to what he said. He said you must keep his Father's commandments. And he said his Father's commandments is the truth. And look in the same book, Book of Psalms 119, verse 151.
Thou art near, O Yah.
Thou art near, O Yahweh, and all, notice what it said, didn't say some, but all
thy commandments are truth.
All thy commandments are truth. R-U-T-H. Truth. So here, as we examine the scriptures, Old and New Testament, doctrine upon doctrine, line upon line, precept upon precept, here little and there little, we come to the undeniable fact that truth is being defined as the word of Yahweh. And the word of Yahweh only. Not the word of Paul, not the word of the apostles, not the word of some poke, not the word of your lying bishops and so-called reverends, is the word of Yah and Yah only. And anyone that's dealing contrary to the words of Yah or dealing in lies and deceit. And we find out further where we deal with this word truth and his apostles, that now that we understand what truth is, we can understand why we must regard the day that Yahweh gave us as the new year. Because here, again, in Book of Exodus, the 12th chapter, the first and second verse, it comes out with the emphatic words of the Most High when the Creator himself, who spoke to Yahweh, and here is how it reads, starting at the first verse. And Yahweh spoke, not Paul, not JC, but Yahweh spoke, not Muhammad, not Elijah, but Yahweh spoke unto Moshe and Aaron in the land of Mizraim, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year unto you. So the Almighty only had one New Year's. And that is the new year that he proclaimed to his servants, the prophets, and to his people, the Israelites, that New Year's would be in spring, which coincide with generally the month of April. But what are we going by today? The scripture said there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. If these preachers are telling you the truth, ask them to show you in their Bible, in their books, in their New Testament, in their Quran, what month is New Year's? And notice what the Creator says. He says it's in the month of Abib. And if this is true, then why do the Christians celebrate New Year's in January? Well, let's see. According to history, why the people are now celebrating New Year's in January. Did you know that there was a great king, a great emperor by the name of Gregory? And here's what it says about him and what he did in relationship to New Year's. You all need to know this, and you all need to know where this came from and how we got this to be as it is today. It's something that you might even pull up out of your internet, off your internet, about the Jewish New Year and about the Christian New Year and about where it came from and how it came into our existence. We're going to start reading here about one of the New Years, and I want you to examine it closely, what it says about the Muslim New Years, and then we'll deal with some of the facts about the Christian New Years.
The Muslims' New Year's Day, Muharram, is the first month of the Islamic calendar and the first day of Muharram. I celebrate it as the Muslims' New Year. It is mistakenly believed that Hari Raya, Puasa, Muslims' New Year, Al-Hijra, or the Muslim New Year commemorates the fight of pro-Muhammad from Mecca to Medina. Prophet Muhammad faced arrest and persecution in his birthplace, Mecca, for new religion that worshiped one God. He was invited by people from the city of Mecca to migrate in the city. Before his murderers could get him, Prophet Muhammad located Mecca at Medina. Prophet Muhammad started an Islamic community and later spread Islam to the whole of the Arabian Peninsula.
All right, so you see where the Muslim New Year come from. It come from the fact that when Muhammad went from Mecca to Medina, at the time that he went there, the Muslim world began to celebrate that day, that feat, that act as the beginning of a New Year. Now, nowhere will you find this in the Quran. Nowhere will you see that the deity of the Muslims ever gave any directions for anyone to celebrate this as New Year. Nowhere will you see that any angel called Gabriel spoke to anyone about a different New Year. All you will read, and that is not in the Quran, but all you will read in other Islamic books, such as the Hadith, is where he took a journey, and he migrated from Mecca to Medina, and now this is the Islamic New Year. Do you realize how foolish my people are? How can you equate a man taking one trip, regardless, and then the New Year fluctuate? Because of the Islamic New Year, they went by the solar, or should I say lunar calendar only, exclusively by the lunar calendar. And by going by the lunar calendar, there was always 7 or 11 days shorter, 11 days less in the lunar calendar than it was in the solar calendar. So in a period of time where you might have something that might have occurred in the summertime, after a few years, you're seeing that same act occurring in the winter because they're constantly losing days by not adjusting it with the solar calendar. And now an act that might have been in the springtime is now being celebrated in the winter. So you ask yourself, what is the significance? If you're celebrating and making this month a new year because this is the time that he traveled, then you must ask yourself two questions. Number one, who told you, who commanded, and who wrote that you should keep this day as a new year, first of all? And the second question you must ask yourself is why and how can you start keeping something at a particular time that Muhammad made a pilgrimage, and then 11 years later, it's a different season altogether. So it has no significance, no connections, what he originally did from the beginning. Do you understand? Am I talking over your head? If I am, just call in. Area code 513-749-1230, and we will get into this situation more thoroughly. And as for the Christians, where did they get their New Year's? As for the largest religion in the earth, that more people claim they're following Christ. Well, let me show you who these hypocrites are really following. Here's where their New Year came from. Instead, we'll start reading right here about New Year's and where it came from, where January came to be celebrated as a New Year's. Watch this.
New Year Day moves. Ancient cultures, including those as varied as the Romans and the Hindus, celebrated New Year's Day on or around April the 1st.
Notice, and in my studies, I have found out that all the Islamic nations, and most of them today, still are celebrating New Year's around April the 22nd. The whole world at one time were all celebrating New Year's at the same time, around springtime, where the universal laws of the Most High was dictating that this is a new year. The whole world recognized it. But when did this great change take place?
It closely follows the vernal equinox.
And that's when the Almighty's New Year's, it was closely resembling and following the vernal equinox, which is around spring.
In medieval times, much of Europe celebrated March the 25th.
Not only the world, most of all of Europe recognized New Year's as between the 22nd and the 25th of March.
The Feast of Annunciation. At the beginning of the new year, in 1582, Pope Gregory...
I want you to listen to this. In 1582, Pope Gregory...
The eighth. Ordered a new calendar.
He ordered a new calendar. Now, they were going by the Julian calendar. And according to the Julian calendar, you know when New Year's was? Watch.
To replace the old Julian calendar, the new calendar called for New Year's Day to be celebrated January the 1st. Year France adopted the Reform calendar and shifted New Year's Day to January the 1st.
In other words, according to the ancient Julian calendar, New Year's always fell around the month of April. It was only when Pope Gregorian VIII made a new calendar for the world to follow. That calendar is what we're going by today. That calendar is called the Gregorian calendar. And according to the Gregorian calendar, they moved New Year's from April to January. And this was done in the 15th century. This was done in the 15th century, which meant that all of the ancient world, all of the Israelites, all of the Muslims, and mostly all of the Christians all of the Christians at that time went by march. It was only in the 1500s that people started accepting what Pope Gregory did, and that is to institute a new calendar with a new date that was for the beginning of the month, and that was in January. So ask yourself today, who are you following? Are you following traditionalists? Are you following the traditionalists of the Islamic religion? Are you following the traditionalists of the Christian religion? Are you following the traditionalists of the so-called Judaism? Or that, is that what you're following? Or are you following Yahweh? No, you're following the heathens. You're following the devil. You're not following the Most High. And therefore, you have to reap what the Creator said he would put on those that would reject his word and that would reject knowledge and wisdom. You're not following after righteousness. And ask yourself, how can you equate something that Pope Gregory did and replace what he said over the words of the Most High? How can you find yourself in good conscience that you would deliberately go by what your foolish preachers are teaching, even though they can't justify it? They can't show you any good reason why they're doing so other than they monkey see, monkey do. This is all that they're doing, and you're following them. But what did the Most High say about this to our people? The Most High condemned it, and he told our people not to follow after the heathens. In the book of Jeremiah, we're going to go there for a second, the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, and we're going to read the first two verses for you and hope you can get some understanding out of it, because this is what our people in the listening audience are doing. If you don't believe me, just pick up the phone now and call Reverend Swinehead, Reverend Brown, and ask them, sir, why are we celebrating New Year's in January? Or ask them, why are we celebrating a rotating New Year's that might be in winter one year, might be in spring one year, and might be in the summer another year, because it's not fixed, and therefore we're not able to keep up with our seasons with it? Ask them why, and see what they will tell you. See the answer that you get, and call me up, if you dare to question those that you have been supporting. If you dare to question those that have been giving you something other than the words of the Most High. The truth of the matter is, these places are not teaching the truth. There's only one place you can get all the truth by, and that is the word of Yah. Because if you read the Quran and you read the New Testament, both books will tell you to go back to those that were given the book. And if you have any doubt about what your book says, to go to those that are in the Israelite faith and ask them, because they had the truth longer than anyone else. Notice what it says in the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. The book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter. We're going to read the very first two verses. And tell me who you think the Creator is speaking about. Tell me who is justified to make this claim.
In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Yehuda.
There's a song that's going to be sung in the land of Yehuda. Not in Mecca, not in Medina, not in the Vatican, not in Italy, But in Jerusalem,
we have a strong city.
We have a strong city.
Salvation will Elohim appoint for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates.
Open ye the gates.
That the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in.
That the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. That keep the truth. And the truth is the words of Yah. And all nations know that if they're going to keep the New Year's correctly, if they're going to follow the dietary law correctly, if they're going to follow the Sabbath laws correctly, that they most definitely will have to go that knowledge to those that were given the holy articles of Yah. And that is the truth. And there's only one people that the Most High ever confessed that he gave the truth to. And we're going to read who that is. Only one people that has the truth, according to the book of Songs. The book of Songs. We're going to read Songs 147. And we're going to read the 19th and 20th verse.
He sheweth his word unto Yahakov.
He sheweth his word unto Yahakov.
His statutes and his judgments unto Israel.
His statutes and judgments unto Israel.
He have not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye Yah.
So right here, the Creator said, he gave his word to Jacob. His statutes and judgments he gave to Israel. And it says he has not done so with any other nation. And as far as his commandments, they have not even known them. Praise ye Yah. Now, where is it mentioned in the New Testament about what day is New Year's on? When did it tell you in the New Testament, if you're going exclusively by that, when did it tell you when to celebrate New Year's? If you're going by the Quran, where does it say in the Quran that this is how you are going to know when the first month is? Well, if you don't know when the first month, then certainly you wouldn't know the fourth month or the seventh month. You would have to know where to start. And it's not mentioned in the Quran. As many other things, you have to go back to the people of the book and find out exactly when this New Year's is. And the Creator wants all our people to be in unity. He wants all us to have harmony. They say, well, Alicia, you should respect other people's religion. I respect other people. I respect all people. But I don't respect religions that bring confusion and division to our people. Now we got three or four times that people are celebrating New Year's, and it's only one person, only one book, only one creator that ordained when the proper New Year should be celebrated and has it in his book, and nobody else can have any kind of valuable reasons other than they're following a man. They're committing idolatry. Because if you're following Muhammad and what they claim he did about making a pilgrimage from one city to another as grounds to change the Almighty's New Year, then truly, regardless what you call yourself, you're committing idolatry. And if you're a Christian that can't justify the reason that you're keeping New Year's in winter, you're following a man. And if you belong to the Jewish religion and you can't justify why you're keeping New Year's in the seventh month, let's show you how backwards these people are. These Jewish people, they celebrate New Year in the seventh month, even though in their book, even in the Torah that they claim is their book, should I say, it plainly states that New Year's is in the month of Abib. And they even changed the names of that. We asked in the world, what are you doing? What madness are you following? We're asking you to get grips, take hold, take charge, and seek the truth. And we're proclaiming that the only truth is the words of Yah. And besides Yah, there is no truth. We want you to take these factors under consideration. We want you to call us and talk about the scriptures of truth, because that's what the Almighty's book was called. He dealt in so much truth that notice what his servants named our book. In the book of Daniel, I think it's around the 10th chapter, the 21st verse, notice what the prophet says about, and the angel says about our book.
But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince.
In other words, he wanted to show the angel, wanted to show Daniel what was written in the scriptures of truth. That's all the Creator deal with, truth. His word is the truth. His law is the truth. Even Christ told Yah, please sanctify my disciples in thy truth. And then he said, thy word is the truth. And then the prophets and angels proclaimed that these are the scriptures of truth. Because if you want to learn the truth, you don't need to go to any other book if you want to know how to serve the Most High. And don't brainwash yourself to believe that Yahweh changed and one day gave you a different set of laws. And we're going to talk about that perhaps tonight or another night. We're going to deal with Jehovah's Witnesses, who are his witnesses, maybe next week. And we're going to deal about the difference in the laws of the various books. And we're going to start with the law of divorce. Then we found out that something very peculiar happened the other day, and I want to run it down to you as soon as we get back, and you don't want to miss this. But right now we're going to stop for news break, and I want all our listeners to hold on. And if you have any questions, any comments, call us at area code 513-749-1230. And before I leave, wasn't our sister beautiful last week? Wasn't the beautiful Israelite sister, wasn't she inspiring? And did she inspire you? And if so, please call in and tell me if you were inspired by our beloved sister Nicole that talked the words of Yah last week. But right now we're going to stop the news and we'll be right back. Shalom.
1230 WTVC Cincinnati. The Buzz.
Here, I said I wasn't threatened. In fact,
or Talk Station.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. Again, Moriah Elisha Israel from the house of Israel bringing you truth or tradition. And today we're discussing the New Year's that was proclaimed and given to the children of Israel by the Most High himself. And we're comparing this in the New Year's that many Muslims observe, not all of them, but many Muslims observe a day when they claim that Muhammad made them pilgrimage from Mecca to Medina. And because of that, they changed the year because that was the time that he made that pilgrimage. Even though the day this month or this year would not be the same time because they lose 11 days every year. And so after a period of time, what would start in the summer would end up in the winter. And we also are weighing this against the Christian New Year's, not the Christian New Year, because the true Christians, they all kept New Year's at the appointed time. but the day that the so-called Christians are keeping today, which is in January, which was given to us by Pope Gregory the VIII when he changed and gave them his calendar. And his calendar made January the first day of the new year and the first month of the new year. We're comparing it with that of Yahweh. Whose new year seems more authentic? Whose new year has the most weight? Whose new year has the most clout? And whose new year is really given to us by the Most High? The one that's being celebrated by some Muslims? The ones that's being celebrated by some Christians? The new year's is being celebrated by some Israelites, or the new year's that was prescribed by the words of the Most High, which would fall always around the 1st of April or the last of March. This is what we're talking about today. And also we open up our lines for any discussion on our beautiful sister, Sister Nicole, our sister that called us and that was from Atlanta, that was our guest last week. And she stirred up the city, and not only the city, the sister stirred up the nation, and she's getting emails from all around the country and phone calls from all around the country. And I want to ask you, did she inspire you? Did she touch you with something she said? And if so, would you share it with us? We're going to open up our lines to our beautiful brothers and sisters, and all they have to do from all over the world. We want to hear them all over Cincinnati, all over Baltimore, all over Atlanta, all over Mississippi, all over Carolina and the other states to give me their comment on these very valuable issues. Right now, we're going to go, beloved brother Michael Riley. Shalom, brother.
Shalom, shalom.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today?
Excellent, my brother. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. The sister last week was very beautiful. It's nice to hear a beautiful sister speak the truth. And one of the things I want you to talk about, the new year. Now, myself, you know, it's two different hemispheres, and you know, on Earth, right? The southern, northern hemisphere. Like, we're coming in spring, and it's the opposite on the other side of the equator, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we understand that New Year's is in the middle of winter, right after the winter solstice, where, you know, but in Australia, who's part of the Western culture, there's a summer, and they celebrate New Year's at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain to me how confusing that can be?
Oh, very, very confusing. I can't even begin to get in it. You're going to two different completely times all together, you know, and I think something should be fixed. Something should always demonstrate what it's representing. You teach by action. If this is the New Year's, the people need to see it demonstrated by the laws of nature.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, it seems strange, like anything below the equator is the opposite of what's above the equator.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like I say, like, you know, like countries like Indonesia, you know, Australia, all of them celebrate, you know, in different seasons. Now, you know, Christianity, we know, is confusing. That's automatically confusing, and you don't have to.
Yeah,
do it
absolutely. Yeah.
Have to do with the winter solstice, and you know for a fact that these ministers are afraid to speak the truth.
Yeah, they're supposed to teach the truth, don't they?
Well, but they're afraid to because
yes, they are afraid to.
Just like a good example, now you hear the different things that are coming out where they're showing that Jesus was not a real Messiah, and he was not crucified on the cross, and all these different things. But can you imagine these children being preachers come up Sunday morning and say, well, this really didn't happen, and the New Year's this, and you know, the rabbit hair and the Easter eggs and all this kind of stuff. Can you imagine that the people in the church would throw them out because they are so conditioned?
Yes, and the pitiful thing about it, these lies, were not talked to them in the nightclub. They were not talked to them in the whorehouse. They were not talked, these lies were not talked to our people in the crack house. But these lies were taught to our people in church. The lies about Easter and the bunny rabbit and the eggs and about Easter ceremony that no one in the scriptures ever celebrated. the fact about Christmas that no one in the scriptures ever celebrated or talked about. These are the things that they inherited from these whorehouses that they call churches today.
And like I say, you know, we are people, when you confront people with truth, they look at you like you're crazy. Well, that's where you believe. No, it's not that. It's the truth.
Yes.
And that's the problem, that we are so conditioned to dispute anything that we have no knowledge of. Because we are people, like they always say, if you want to hide something from us, put it in a book. Because
yes,
we are so afraid to
face. Matter of fact, that's how the old people down south, all their important papers and whatnot that they didn't want to lose, they put them in the Bible because they
Bible.
Know nobody be reading that anyway.
Well, that's
right. That's where they hid it at.
And so this is something that we people must understand. You start talking about these, you know, these politicians who we know are basically liars. You know, they always run to the church knowing they can come to their lives there, and the people are so conditioned to believe a lie, that's why politicians run there. So this is one that we got to be as a people. Well, like we see today that people, when they do come to truth, they call you an infidel or you call you all kind of names, but the truth is right there, but they're too lazy and too afraid to accept what's going on. And that's one thing I liked about the sister last night, last week. She came out with the truth.
Yes, yes.
You know, and like I say, and it's beautiful to see sisters who are not afraid to stand up and tell the truth. And that's what I'm saying. And we need more and more sisters like that, and just don't accept whatever that children preacher says, and to start dealing with the truth. And if you want to teach your kids the truth, you know, give them a book and show them. Just don't drag them to a whorehouse like a church where these children preachers pull their head full of nonsense. And when they wonder why they're doing the things they're doing today, because they don't have knowledge of their self and what really is the truth about life. So these are things that we got to do. Like you talk about New Year's. Dude, we don't even question anything like that. We're afraid to question that.
Yes, yes.
You know?
We just follow. We just follow blind, following the blind, never asking for any proof, never asking for any substantiation, never asking for many facts, just following blindly, because that's the way we've been raised up.
Right.
And they've been raised up in a Jehovah's Witness family. They remain Jehovah's Witness.
That's right.
They've been raised in the Baptist. They stay Baptist. They are just blind people following the blind. They're not thinkers. They are transmitters. And they can only transmit to you what they've been taught, not what they learned, not what they have learned on their own independently, but what they have been taught. And this is very shameful that our people is this way, because the Creator called them the walking dead.
And that's what really kills me. We wonder why our kids act the way they do, because they don't have knowledge of self. Got them believing in Easter Bunny, got them believing in Saint Claus. Every wicked thing in the world, we lie to our children. I mean, we drink, but it's wrong for them to take drugs. You know, and that's really unique, how we are hypocrites. You know, and this is a thing that we as a people must understand. If you want to know the truth, don't get it from these Trinity preachers or these disgusting schools that teach you to pull, you know, they talk about separate state, church and state. How can you separate church and state when you go to school, the first thing they want to tell you about St. Claus and the Easter Bunny? They don't separate nothing.
You're right.
I just want to call and say that, but like I said, if you can explain why one hemisphere is the opposite of the other one, but they celebrate the same time, that doesn't make sense to me.
No, no, no. But that one thing that I will say, though, the Creator told us all of our holy days have to correspond to the season in which it occurred. So therefore, we have a calendar that will always bring us at the same month during the same season. In other words, if an event happened in a winter, it would always have us celebrating it in that winter.
Or
if it happened in the spring, such as New Year's or the Passover, you always see the calendar bringing us to the same thing, and then that's the Creator's calendar in the sky, not the Jewish calendar that we're following or many of my people are following.
Okay, so in other words, in Australia or Indonesia or some parts of Africa, whatever, where there's a different seasons, like when it's summer here, it's winter there, it's summer here.
Yes, and you have to you have to go by the season where you're at that
okay,
time.
For instance,
if it might be when it's a Sabbath day here in Cincinnati, in Africa, it might be nighttime.
Right. That's
where they don't wait until the night to celebrate it because I'm doing it here. They have to go by the rotations of the sun in their perspective localities. Now, when they're sleeping, I might be up, and when I'm up, they might be season, and that's what we have. That's when we went by the season. We could always follow the Almighty signs in the sky. So if we're going by something that was arbitrary, just written, that could not be backed up by any signs, any seasons, then we are dealing in a little confusion, and it would be two people doing the same thing, and they're in two different geographical locations on opposite.
And listen.
No, thank you.
Okay, and I didn't know what your format was or any of those things.
Mm-hmm.
However, you know, all of us have our own belief about how we believe in God and so on and so forth, and that's fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is.
Well, it's not fine if it's not consistent with him. It might be fine to the individual because they're doing it that way. The scripture said there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's only fine what we're doing when it's consistent with the one that we're serving. Now, if you're just serving a religion, it's fine what you're doing. But if you are serving the true and living God, the true and living Elohim, then what you do is not fine if it's not according to his words.
Well, my question would be, how does one always know how that is? How does one know when they actually serve the true and living God?
Well,
I mean, is it something that you feel? I mean, is it something that you do? I heard you were talking about the New Year's. So my question would be, when did New Year's, did Adam and Eve celebrate New Year's?
Well, if they did celebrate New Year's, it's not written. But it is written that the Almighty gave the children of Israel a New Year's and the exact month to celebrate New Year's when he brought them out of slavery out of Egypt. And we do know that. So there are a lot of things that's not written, but we have so much that is written that we don't even have to concern ourselves with what's not written.
I consider myself to be a very deep thought person. And, of course, our parents introduce us to certain religions. When we reach a certain age, we have a right to venture out on our own to find out for ourselves what makes us comfortable and what gets us to our comfort level. Because as you begin to talk about the seasons, if I'm not mistaken, the seasons began after the flood. Is that true?
No, that's not true.
When did the seasons begin?
The season began when the Almighty put lights in the heaven. That started the seasons. And you'll find that in the book of Genesis,
okay.
First chapter, Genesis.
Well, I do have my,
all
my
right. Well, then.
I always have my Bible with me when I begin to ask questions because
right.
I ask questions
well,
and I pray about those things.
Let me give you some answers. Look in the first chapter of Genesis, and we're going to read the 14th verse for you, and you want to know when seasons came and what seasons represent in scriptures, and we're going to read it for you.
Okay, go on.
We're starting in Genesis, the first chapter, and we're going to read the 14th verse for you.
Okay.
And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years.
And so we have seasons, and already we have the lights were to be for signs and seasons and for days and for years. And if we look in the book of Genesis, the 8th chapter, you'll see some of the seasons that the Almighty put on earth for us to follow. According to Genesis, the 8th chapter, the 22nd verse.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest.
That's Genesis 8:22.
Okay.
Are you with us yet?
Okay.
All right, keep reading.
While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat. And summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease.
All right, these are the seasons.
Well,
you have and the season that you're well acquainted of is the season of winter and summer. And these lights were to determine our seasons. That's when we know that the lights get short, we have winter coming on.
Well, then let me ask you this for some clarity. When was the first rain?
When was the first rain? The first rain was when it don't state when the first rain came on the earth, and it don't state when the first snow came, and it doesn't state the exact day they came.
Okay.
Those are things that are not relevant to your salvation, Patricia.
Oh.
Let me say this to you.
Okay.
Let me say this to you.
Okay.
Now, you said you'd let me say something.
I'm listening. I was just telling my grandson just stomped his toe and he's bleeding, so I got to take care of that, too, while I'm listening.
All right.
Okay.
Now, when it first rained and when it first snowed and when Adam or if Adam ever kept the first New Year or when is it written that he kept the first New Year, those things are not relevant to your salvation. But what the Almighty spoke to you is, and he gave you his laws, and his laws are the truth. And we are dealing with the truth. And the truth is now we know when New Year's is, and we have to start keeping it at the time that the Creator gave it to us.
Okay.
Yes, and that's what we know. And now we know his laws. It's mentioned in the book, and now we must start keeping all of his commandments. We know that today. And these are the things that we need to identify with today, rather than when it first rang on earth.
But all of it's relevant, isn't it?
No, all of this is not relevant to your salvation. No, it's not. When was a star first put in the universe? That's not relevant. When did it first hail? It's not relevant. When is the first time they had a snowstorm on earth? That's not relevant to your salvation at all. Now, if you would like to deal with the way of your matters, if you would like to deal with the things that's relevant to your salvation, then I'm here to accommodate you. But if you just want to see how much I know and just how many...
Oh, no, brother. I'm just calling because...
These things are not relevant to our discussion because we're dealing with your salvation and we're dealing with the things that you should know and you don't know, such as a proper time to keep New Year's. Now, when have you been keeping New Year's?
Hey, I've been keeping the same New Year that I was born in because that's
when is that?
January 1st.
Now, where did you get that at? Now, since you're a lady that loves knowledge.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah, I want you to just – wait, don't get all this up right now. I want you to show me why you start keeping New Year's in January the 1st.
Because that's what was here when I was born. You asked me a question, and I'm trying to answer the question.
All right, that was here when you was born.
That's when
was born, they also told a lie that Santa Claus came down the chimney.
Well, we know that. And they said that the tooth fairy put a tooth cord
go.
On, so
there
I understand all of those
so
things
So we had
as well.
To separate ourselves from the ways and things that was told to us when we were born. We had to separate the... When I was born, Patricia, they told me I was a nigger. But I can't keep talking on that. I got a lot of people on the board, but... I just want you to know that when I was born, they told me I was a nigger. That's what they told me.
Nobody told me that.
Oh, yes, well,
to my face, I didn't know that.
Oh, you didn't know that. You
didn't know
that people called us niggers?
I didn't know, understand all of my history. No, I did not.
Okay.
But I learned it.
All right. Well, that's what I mean. You learned it.
Yeah,
well, that's what I meant. I wasn't born with it, but I learned it as well. So everything we were born with and came up with or existed when we came up, it doesn't mean it's the truth.
Well, no, that's true, but there's three factors. It's we're born, we live, and we die.
Well, do you see now that January is the wrong time to celebrate New Year's?
No, I don't see that. I'm just listening to what you're saying, and I just cannot accept that. I'm just listening to you today.
Okay, well, then you do some research on your own. You get your encyclopedias and see what Pope Gregory the VIII did when he put his Gregorian calendar in circulation. And when he arbitrarily made January as a new year, we want you to search and see if you can find that out. And then next week, tell me if you want to keep the same New Year's that he gave you or the one that was appointed to us by the Most High. I'd like you to tell us that next year.
I'm 58 years old, and I don't think I can even concentrate on that right now, you know. But anyway, I will be tuning in.
All right, I appreciate that.
Uh-huh, bye.
Bye, Patricia. That's very beautiful, man. Appreciate our sister calling and talking with us. And right now we want to extend an invitation to you all, regardless what city you're in, to call in and give us your point of view on what we're discussing tonight or anything that's relevant to you. But right now we have another beautiful sister from Arkansas. And incidentally, our phone number is area code 513-749-1230. But we're going right to Sister Joyce out of Arkansas. Sister Joyce.
Yes, good evening, brother.
Yes, good evening.
I've called before. I'm from Pine Bluff.
Okay, and, yes, I remember your voice.
Yes, and I want to address the brother that called before, the young lady that just got the phone, and he was speaking of a lot of us, you know, just fitting and accepting. I was in the Baptist faith, and I was in it for a long time, but I want him to know, everybody that was in the Baptist faith, and I want you to know this also, we all are not accepting. We weren't all accepting. We were caught up in this tradition. But while we were in it, I'm speaking for myself, I didn't accept everything that was taught to me. I was taught that you could practically commit any sin that you want. All you have to do is believe in Jesus and pray, and he forgives you. And I used to ask this in Sunday school and ask it in church.
And that just didn't make sense to you.
I said, that's mocking God. You're making a mockery of him. You have no respect for him.
You're a smart woman.
Yeah, forgiving you over and over for the same thing. All you have to do is say, I'm sorry. And he's supposed to keep forgiving. That's, you know, that's mocking him.
Yes,
it
is.
He's too great a God to be mocked like that. God doesn't play. I never believed that. I never accepted that.
You're an extremely smart woman, too.
Yes, and so I had questions like that. And as for the sister,
they didn't like you, did they?
No, they did not. And see, my husband, we left. We've been gone now a couple of years. I was secretary, kept the books, and did, you know, worked hard in the church. But I stood to the side, and we were mostly, we were in the church, but we were of ourselves. Because a lot of things we didn't believe in, we didn't participate in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the Baptist faith, but we didn't follow them. I didn't believe in Christmas. And it's like now, they, you know, they're getting mad because some people calling it a holy tree and a Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
They have issues to complain about it on the job in the office. They know
yes.
what I tell them. I say, it's all tradition. What are you arguing about it for?
That's
whole
right.
A whole lot worse things in this world we can argue about than a darn tree. I said, forget that tree.
Oh, my gracious.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
just,
ma'am.
Wrapped up in the foolishness like that. So
yes, ma'am.
I, and my, after my girls moved to Cincinnati and I got to listen, I knew it was somewhere that I need to be and it's something I need to be doing, but I never could feel like I was, you know, at my right spot.
Yes, ma'am.
Like the sister was asking just then, how do you know, when do you know to put these things down? Well, I did know, but I knew something wasn't right.
That's right.
And if something's not right, eventually, if you for right, right's going to come your way.
If you're a right person, but you got to be right in the beginning.
Yes.
Because if you ain't right, then everything wrong is going to be complacent with
but
you.
But if you're right and you're willing to accept right and you can feel something is not right, right's going to come your way.
That's right.
My sister moved to Cincinnati and my girls finished college and they moved there, reestablished. And my oldest daughter said, Mama, you need to, I heard a man, you need to listen to this. And I started picking you up back when they first took you off and thought we had lost you, and I called in a couple of times and came out and got some literature from you. And I said, well, you know, this is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm here now. And like the sister, I was listening to her a while ago, what do you know? Well, we can't do everything overnight. I can't change all this. I've been brainwashed overnight. But I'm going to change.
You're working on
it.
And you're going to change, and I know you are.
That's right. And the mighty God's working on me. He's
helping. That's right.
So
and
I just want to say I'm really enjoying the program. I look forward to it every week. And I'm laying a lot of things down from this world, a lot of traditions. I'm laying them down.
Yeah, bless you.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you. It is an inspiration.
Thank
for
you.
Me to talk to a sister like you.
Thank you.
You're truly one of the daughters of Zion, and it's great.
I believe I am. He's got a place for me. I don't know where all I've got to go in this world, but I'm going, and he's sending me.
Oh, yes,
and he's going to be with me.
Yes, he
and
is.
And I feel that.
And you know that.
I know that.
And
yes.
I know it, too.
I believe it.
I know it, and I know it as well.
That's right.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
and
I
may
thank
Yah
so.
Bless you and keep you until we speak again.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Good night. Bye-bye.
Good night. Oh, what a delightful conversation with a person that still has life in them, that still are willing to put down their bad ways when they see that they are wrong. I wish majority of you would like that. I wish majority of you ladies and brothers were as strong as that woman in search for her quest. I'm walking in darkness so long, by them dealing with what's wrong so long, they think that I'm the one in a cult. And I dare them to find a word about the Baptist and Methodist and Unitarian, Episcopalian, Seventh-day Adventist, and Jehovah Witness in the Bible. The only witnesses in the Bible were Israelites. Those were Yahweh's witnesses. Not these grill renegades now that used to be called a watchtower that's actually not confirming the words of Yah, but confirming the words of Peter and Paul. They need to be calling themselves Paul witnesses instead of Yahweh witnesses. But I know what you mean, Brother Marcus.
Yes. You were saying something that, and it was, I was inspired to think about. Isn't it, to me, for lack of a better term, it's very interesting. It's very amazing. It amazes me. I guess it astonishes me that whether they are theologians or scholars or people who claim to read the Bible, like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who points to the scriptures in plain language is on the page about keeping the Sabbath day, and it says the seventh day of the week, you ask them how many days on our calendar,
mm-hmm.
in any part of the world. Seven,
that's right. That's right.
You know, and you know about the different time zones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't matter what time zone you're in.
Mm-hmm.
If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesday.
That's right.
Okay? And you count to seven, you look on a calendar, a Gregorian or Julian calendar, the first day of the week is called Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what it's called in any language.
That's right.
It's still number one. And then you count.
That's right.
And you come to seven, the seventh day,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it's called in any language, it astonishes me,
yes.
that they,
yes.
look,
yes.
right at the face of the,
that's
word
right.
of God,
and have
then
the same thing.
Throw it behind their backs
and
go after their traditions, and then they
right.
come up with all kinds of reasons
all
why
kind
they
of
want
excuses.
To keep Sunday.
And listen, I checked out the ancient Babylonian calendar. Sunday was the first day of the week,
mm-hmm.
and Saturday they went by a seven-day system, and Saturday was a seventh day. And that was the ancient Babylonian calendar, the Greek calendar. Sunday is the first day of the week.
Yes.
The ancient Judean calendar, Sunday is the first day of the week, and Saturday is the seventh day.
Yes.
The Gregorian calendar, all the calendars. People ask me, do you know right now, most of the people in my listening audience, they have been so brainwashed, but if you ask the average Christian, what's the first day of the week? He will tell you the first day of the week is Monday.
I know, and I've done it over
and
over.
And I said, sir, what
were
you? And I mean, they will swear. Yep. And they will break their neck, run into a calendar to find out that they've been brainwashed all their life. And I've seen people do it right after a while. I had three or four fellows tell me that Monday is the first day of the week. I said, son, where do you get this at? What
yep.
calendar are you going by?
You're
so messed up that you've been reading a calendar all your life, but by you being taught one thing, you've totally ignored what all of the books are clearly saying.
Yes.
This is the condition of my people today, sir.
Yes.
We have a hard job ahead of us.
Yes.
Yes. And
I'm
glad the Almighty has touched you, and I'm glad that you put away the wickedness as soon as you find it and keep the good work up.
Yes.
And may Yah bless you and keep you until we speak again.
Bless you too. The mighty Yah bless you.
Hallelujah.
Good night.
Good night. Well, that was very beautiful. And I want some of my brothers out of Baltimore and out of Atlanta to call me tonight. I want to hear from that direction as well as from Chicago. And our phone number is area code 513-749-1230. We want you to call in. But right now we're going to Cincinnati again to another beautiful brother right out of Cincinnati by the name of Moshe. Shalom.
Shalom, brother. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well now.
Good. I'd like to say hallelujah and thank Yah for waking us up and raising a brother like yourself in our midst to teach us what thus saith Yah instead of thus saith Paul, Matthew, Paul, and Peter.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's a blessing to know when a year begins. As you said, we couldn't keep the rest of the holidays or wouldn't know what day was what if we didn't know when a year began.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's a blessing to know that and have the knowledge of that, know that deer don't fly like birds and rabbits ain't laying eggs like chickens and a dead man ain't going to save the living. You know, it's just a blessing to be woke up to the truth
mm-hmm.
and not to
mm-hmm.
walk in lies and have a brother like yourself that is courageous enough to get up and tell us the truth in the midst of everyone who doesn't want to hear the truth.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So I just wanted to call and commend you on your efforts.
Thank you.
And hope this radio program continues on and people get wind of it and call in and maybe we all can grow together.
Hello. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. May Yah bless and keep you. Tonight I want to dedicate our show to a young man out of South Bend, Indiana by the name of Chester. This man loves his family and his people so bad that he wants me to come down there and talk to his relatives. And I intend on trying to line that up for him. I mean, this is how much he loves his people. He want to rent a hall and take care of all the expenses just so I can speak to his family because he knows that he has the truth now. And Brother Chester, if you hear me, Yah loves you, and so do I. And keep up the good work. We're dedicating our night to you. But right now, we're going to a beautiful brother right out of Cincinnati by the name of Miss Wilson, or shall I say, beautiful sister, Miss Wilson. Shalom.
Hello, how you doing?
Fine, Miss Wilson. How are you?
It's a nice show. The show is very nice.
Well, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
And I was thinking about what you were saying about Pope Gregory.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know anything about him personally, but I do know about the Catholic Church, and
yes.
There's so much that goes on that's negative.
Mm-hmm.
But I never hear you respond or say anything real about the Catholic Church. I know you talk about other religions, but so much, the lawsuits, the children that has been abused, nuns that has been abused, and different stuff in the name of religion.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to talk about that next week for you, but go ahead. Yeah, but I talked about it many times. You just didn't hear it at that particular time. But for your sake, I'll come back next week, and we're going to deal. Either we're going to deal with Jehovah's Witness or the Catholic Church, or I might throw both of them in there.
Well, I don't see the comparison of Jehovah's Witnesses. They're not doing what we automatically hear on the news with these lawsuits about the Catholic Church.
Well, I will admit, even though they're both doing and teaching things they shouldn't, I can't say the Jehovah's Witnesses are as bad as the Catholics because the Catholics, the abominations that they're doing and that they're justifying and in the way they are protecting these maniacs, these sadistic pedophiles is really beyond my belief that people will still contribute to an organization that committed so much violence against our children. Our children. Now, if it was a black church, they would have closed it down years ago. But by being the Catholic Church, as rich as it is, they let this foolishness go on. And then, but believe it or not, sister, the tenets that the Catholic Church preach, they get it from the New Testament. The reason these pedophiles and homosexuals don't have wives is because of the teaching of the New Testament. This is where they get this from. Did you know that?
Well, I believe that would be true. I mean, in the sense that what they say, the children think that it's coming from God. How can a child decipher whether God had disagreed with this man touching him or doing different things that's pervert?
Well, the only ones that they were allowed to be priests, you have to have a perverted nature to be considered a priest. They have to take a vow of celibacy. They have to say that I'm not going to touch no woman. Now, what the Creator said, it is not good for man to live alone. And if somebody is willing to accept what Paul said, when Paul said it is not good for a man to touch a woman, he said just the opposite. And the Catholic priests, they elected to follow Paul instead of the Most High. So right now they don't have wives because that's what Paul taught in the New Testament. Had they been going by the words of the mighty Yah, they would all have wives and children, and they wouldn't be hunted with that perverted nature to seek satisfaction for their unnatural lust that they have. Because it's only a certain type of man that would be attracted to a religion that would tell him you could not practice your manhood for the rest of your life. There's a lot of men that wouldn't even want to live if they couldn't exert their manhood. And here these people are vowing that this is what they want to do. Do you know what an average man with the average nature would not consent to such a thing? First of all, he would favor the words of the Most High, and the Most High said it is not good for man to live alone. The Most High said he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and attaineth favor from Yahweh. But here in the New Testament, it says if a man, it's not good for a man to touch a woman. And if a man want to serve the Most High, he must remain unmarried because a married man cannot serve the Most High. This is the kind of madness you'll read about in the New Testament. And this is where these fellows get that at, sister.
Okay, I can appreciate what you're saying, but when we take and group all different religions in the same bowl, I don't think that's fair. Now, let me tell the reason why. When you say Catholics is this way, and then you say Jehovah's Witnesses and the Baptists and Seventh-day Adventists is this way.
No, I didn't say they was that way with that perverted nature.
Okay.
I said they are worse than them as far as the perversion of their sexual appetite, the sexual lust for these young boys. I never said they're the same in that respect. I said although they are both teaching things that are not right, I said I have to admit that the Catholics are the worst.
Okay. Well, I would think that if I was going to compare some things that the Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't celebrate those traditions, holidays, and different things, and their children is not the ones you see on the street with drugs and different things. And they seem to be doing what you say that the churches that profess to be Christians following Christ is not doing. They are going and trying to talk to people about what God's word says. In other words, a Christian.
And let me say this. My line is busy, sister, and I got a lot of people on it. But what I'm going to do, I'm going to go come back next week, and I'm going to try to justify my position. I'm going to talk about the Catholic religion. And I'm going to talk about the good people that are Jehovah Witnesses because some of my good friends have been Jehovah Witnesses, and they are some mighty good people. And I have nothing to say about them as individuals. It's only the religion that has them teaching things that are against the one they claim they're following. Because they say the Most High's name is Jehovah, which I know is false, and they say they're his witnesses. Well, if they're Jehovah Witnesses, why can't they witness the fact that there's no Savior but Yahweh? Because this is exactly what he told his witnesses to verify, and they can't do this. So they are actually members of a organization that is practicing deceit. They're in your houses telling you they're following Jehovah, but the reality of it is they're only following Paul. They don't follow Jehovah.
Well,
Jehovah said don't eat no pigs. Jehovah Witnesses teach that you can eat anything. Jehovah teaches that you must keep the Sabbath day. Jehovah Witnesses teach that you don't have to keep the Sabbath day. Jehovah teach that he's the only Savior. Jehovah Witnesses teach that Christ is the Savior. So once we examine these people, they are really not his witnesses at all. But we'll talk about it a little more next week.
Thank you. I enjoyed talking.
And I appreciate it. Will you call back next week so we can finish this discussion?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sister Wilson. Right now, our time is getting very short, so I'm going to try to get to a bunch of people right now as quick as I can, and I'm going right to Maryland, to Brother Jehoshua out of Maryland. Brother Jehoshua.
Hey, shalom, shalom, brother.
Shalom,
how you
shalom.
Doing?
Excellent.
I know you got short on time, but quickly I wanted to say something.
All right.
Especially to help the last caller out. It's a lot of people out there that aren't even religious that might be some good people, but it doesn't make it right when it's all said and done. It's only the laws of Yah, which are truth, which make us righteous in the first place. And that's what we all, every man is going to have to answer to one day. And, you know, and this is a challenge to all the Israelites that out there that know that you're Israel. It's so imperative because we all have family members that are questioning, like the sister called up and wanted to know, about she wanted to know, how do you know? It's so imperative that we walk upright and then we do what is right before the Most High, because we are the witness. We are his servant.
Yes.
And
yes.
How we have to represent his glory in all things.
Yes.
And represent his name with integrity.
That's true.
Because we have to know what we believe and then walk in what we believe so it can manifest in our lives. And then there won't be no argument there, you know?
Yes, sir.
And because you're going forth and teaching this thing and battling with everybody, but the proof is always in the pudding, you know?
Yes, sir. You're right. I agree 100%.
And when we start manifesting the covenant blessings, man, it's the case is closed. It's like putting the nails in the coffin, you know?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And we're coming to that time because revelation is pouring out, but he that has ears better tune his ears in and hear.
All right.
Because it's time. So I just wanted to let all the Israelites show up.
Yes,
show
sir.
Up and let the world see Yah in you.
All right. I appreciate that, brother.
All right,
and
my man.
I hope everybody take what you said under consideration. And
yes,
until
sir.
I talk to you again, may Yah bless and keep you, brother.
You too.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Right here, going fast, Sister Regina. Sister Regina. Yes, ma'am.
Shalom, Maureen.
Shalom.
I just wanted to speak briefly about Sister Nicole. She did what is written in Isaiah 58:1. She cried aloud, spare not, lift up her voice like a trumpet, and showed his people their transgressions in the house of Yaakov for their sins.
Right.
She spoke like fire was shut up in her bones. Plus, I love what the sister said to us sisters in regards to how we deal with our king men of Israel and how we must treat and honor you all. Maureen Alicia, I praise the mighty Yah for you and all that he has you doing for his people and bringing us the truth. It was his truth that led me to listening to the radio program, and I've been at the House of Israel ever since you've been on the air, and I'm loving it, and I appreciate all that you're doing, and I just like to say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And you have a blessed week,
Maureen.
Thank
you. Thank you.
Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Hey, beloved brother, too sweet. Too sweet.
Hey, how's it going, Alicia? I just want to give you a website. It's called silentlamb.com.
All right, let me write that down. It's called what?
Silentlamb.com.
Okay.
And that's reported. There's 23,000 reported cases of molestation in Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, my gracious.
That's
yes.
Just 23,000 reported.
Not only just two or three. In other
no,
words,
23,000 reported.
Reported? No,
that's just reported. So before you say they're not in the same situation with the Catholic, you better take a real look at that, because there's huge amounts of testimonies by former elders in Bethel and the whole bit. So you need to take a look at that.
You're right, and I appreciate you for correcting me, because I still don't think they're quite as bad as the Catholics in it, but I have to look at these notes first.
Well, just take a look at that and see what you think.
I will, and I'll come back next week on it, and I assure you, and I appreciate you, and our listening line just appreciate you bringing that information to us.
Take care.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Y'all bless you, brother. Let's keep you. That was very good. Silent Lamb, come. And matter of fact, I heard something about that years ago, and this is good. I have it, and we have it, and we're going to do some research on it. And before we get to giving them too many accolades about them not being quite as bad as the Catholics, we're going to investigate it, and we're going to see. And we're going to check it out. But our time is getting short, and I want to give some information to our brothers. The Almighty's New Year, the first new moon was sighted Thursday, March the 30th. And I was one of the people, as well as brothers out of Atlanta and out of Mississippi and out of Baltimore, that went outside and seen the new moon. It was a new moon. So yesterday, what we call the sixth day of the week that you call Friday, that was the first day of New Year's. So it's never too late to give the Most High his acknowledgement and his thanks in allowing you to be here another year. So if you want to celebrate it and give thanks tomorrow, his belated New Year, you can do it, because it's still the first week of New Year. And I want you to know that on our calendar, April the 13th this year, Passover will be the evening of April the 13th. April the 14th,
is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. April the 20th is the second holy day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. September the 25th should be the Feast of Trumpets. The Day of Atonement, our holy day, is not October the 16th that was set up by Farrakhan, but this year, the Day of Atonement, the true Day of Atonement, the original Day of Atonement, that was set up by the original author of the Day of Atonement, would fall on the evening of October the 3rd. That's when the Sabbath would start. But the Day of Atonement itself would be October the 4th. Also, the Feast of Trumpets this year should start October the 9th. And it's a seven-day festival of Feast of Booths. And on the eighth day, it's also a Sabbath. Those are our holy days on the calendar that Yah has given us, not the Jewish calendar, but the calendar he has in the sky for all of us to follow. And right now, our time is getting short, and I don't have time to get in any other discussions other than to inform you that right now I was just given a copy about the abuse of the Jehovah Witnesses, things that were condoned by them, confessions, the knowingly unknown victims that let them in the house, and what occurred when they got in the house, they're committed by some of the elders of the church. We have it, and we're going to release this information with other information on current events next week. Next week, we're going to deal a lot with current events, and we're going to deal a lot with religious groups next week. But right now, time is getting very short, and if anybody would like to contact me personally, my number is 226-7110, area code 513. Or they can visit us at our place of worship at the House of Israel Hebrew Biblical and Cultural Center, which is located at 1664 California Avenue in Bond Hill. Or they can see us on our internet. We got an internet website that up that we have live videos, audios, CDs with some of our latest best shows on radio and TV that we have on that program. And we have other newsworthy events on our program on our website. It's www.houseofisrael.org. House of Israel spelled YISRAEL. Tune in and watch us. And until next week, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do I. Shalom.
Cincinnati.